Thank God. Well, we've been in a series called The Spirit of Victory. Why don't you look on your sheet, 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always leads us in triumph. On your sheet there, I won't put it up here, but in the God's Word translation, it says, I thank God who always leads us in victory because of Christ. He always leads us in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4 on your sheet there says, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Praise God. So we've been talking about the fact that God, He always gives us victory. He always leads us in triumph. And we've talked about other different facets of that and some things. We want to know that truth. But we've been talking about truths that will, if we don't know, if we're not aware, they'll trip us up in believing this. You don't just come out of the gate just believing that you have the victory. That you do, and you should believe that. But there, see, Satan is the same. He uses the same tactics wherever they'll work. He doesn't need new tricks if the old ones work. And, you know, there are new people coming along every day, and they believe the same lies, and so he can run the same plays over and over and over, and they work. And you may have noticed there's certain plays he runs in your life. Maybe he pushes a certain button, and if he can get a certain rise out of you and get you to go in the same direction, why does he need to come up with anything new? Huh? Why does he need to move on to a different thing if you respond the same way? You know, just has to push a button, get somebody going in a certain direction, and he can go off and leave them for 3 days because they'll just wind themselves up and that's all. You come back 3 days later when they've calmed down and push the button again and then leave for a week this time. Now, you know, you're not dealing with Satan himself, typically. I doubt very seriously anybody in this room has ever dealt with Satan himself, but you deal with all the little imps that work for him. And don't you know they're all liars? Just chaos living in that kingdom. They all lie. "Did you do that?" "Yes, sir, I did it." They just lie to each other all the time. You know, did you carry out your orders? Sure. With it, they're liars. They're not going to tell the truth. It's just chaos. Organizations that are dark, lying, cheating, stabbing in the back, that's all modeled after Satan's kingdom. But yeah, he'll just wind you up. And you know what? If you've given in to certain types of thinking, you don't even have to deal with the devil. Your thinking will mess you up, and he doesn't have to be anywhere near you because you have the same thoughts. So these tactics can trip you up. You believe, "I have the victory. God's bringing me over." And then there's certain things that you'll have thoughts or things coming up, especially, you know, why would you need the victory if you're not facing a challenge? Victory is when you're in a battle, when you're in a contest, right? Even if it's just to get out of bed in the morning. Well, it might be a battle for you to get out of bed, but if you get to your feet, you say, "I want a great victory today. Now I'm going to go downstairs into the kitchen." But you know, people want to say, if you're in a battle, that's when you need to believe you have the victory. And that's when you're going to get pressed the hardest. You know, if you're sitting on the beach on vacation, sipping a nice drink, nice lemonade or something, no pressure's on you, that's not the time you have to believe you have the victory, usually. It's when you're in the middle of a battle. That's when you have to believe it. If you just say, well, I wish this would just go away and then I'll believe I have the victory. No, you have to believe you have the victory in the middle when you're under the pressure. That's exactly the time we have to believe we have it when we can't see it. So we've gone through several of these things. We talked about the fact that these storms of life are going to come to all of us regardless. If you've heard the word, if you've heard, you know, like what we're preaching on, that victory is yours, that doesn't mean now you're never going to have any problems. And if you believe that, you'll get sidetracked pretty quickly. We talked about that. I encourage you to go back and listen to these messages. They're all on our website. Jesus himself, put up John 16:33, if you would. You can look at it on your sheet too. John 16:33. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world, so you're going to have tribulation. Jesus himself said there will be pressure. There will be tribulation or adversity in this world. But he also said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we talked about that. There are going to be challenges. We talked about the fact that God has good plans for us. He's a good God. You have to believe in the middle of a challenge that he is good. Now, some people twist that. They start saying, well, he's good and he's bringing this to do, work something out in me. You don't have to believe God for that. It's just going to happen. You're going to have stuff come. God is not sending those things. Things will happen, but you have to, in the spite of that, believe he's a good God. Believe he's on your side, that he has good things for you. If you don't believe that, you'll go down quick. Because when there are pressures, you have to keep your eye on him. We talked about the fact that even if you blew it, even if you messed up and you have a challenge, that's when you need to put that behind you. You have to get up, you have to receive God's forgiveness, and you got to go on. If you think that you missed it, so you have to just deal with the consequences. I'm not saying there are consequences. There are consequences if you miss it, but you can receive mercy and forgiveness and grace and go on. We talked about that. We're not going to go over that again. We talked about the love of God, and we focused on this last week, the love of the Father, the love that God has for us. You need to know how God loves you. That will help you to stand in the midst of a trial. And we spent a good amount of time last week going over that. And I don't have, we're not going to go over all that again, but we talked about, once you put up John 17, verse 20 through 23 real quick, it's on your sheet too. We read this, John 17:20. Go ahead and read on your sheet. I do not bother putting it up. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So Jesus is saying, he's praying for us. He's praying for the people that would believe on his word through the disciples that he had at that time. And he said, he's praying for us that we would know that God loves us just like he loves Jesus. That's a very powerful statement. He loves us just as he loves Jesus. So if you ever think, well, God doesn't love me, you're wrong. We spent some time talking about that. We need to be established in that. Now, look at on your sheet there. We're going to kind of segue into the next part I really want to focus on today. But we'll just hook up with the verses that we were talking about last week. 1 Corinthians 13:4 in the Living Bible. It's on your sheet. And some of these things like that, we don't have that particular translation just up there, but we'll get that taken care of as far as maybe specific verses that we'll have available. But it's on your sheet. It says, love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious. It's never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Now, we talked about this last week. I encourage you, if you missed it, go back and listen to it. these verses are familiar. A lot of, and we, this is describing the God kind of love, the love God has, the love that God is. This is also the love that we have on the inside of us. But as you're reading this, we need to know that this is how God loves us. Okay? This isn't just you love other people this way. Well, of course, you let the love of God flow and love other people this way. But we need to know this is how God loves us. So when you read these verses, this is how God sees you. This is how he reacts to you. And we need to get settled in that, because we may have had different, we all have had different experiences with what people would call love. You may have had an upbringing where people said, I love you, and then they knocked you across the head, you know, abusively. Well, you may be confused about love then. This person said they loved me and they beat me up. This person said they loved me and they walked out on me. When God says he loves me, what does he mean? And that's a big deal. And we need to get settled that God is not a man. God is above. He is the creator, and he is perfect, and his love is perfect, and he proved his love through sending Jesus. But just let's go back to verse 4. I wanted to say that, you know, as we're reading through this, we spent a lot of time last week. I'm not going to spend time here. I want to get to the next part. But let's read verse 4 again. Love is very patient and kind. So God, you can just insert God here. God, because the Bible says God is love. Amen. 1 John. Love is very patient and kind. So he's patient and kind. He's never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice. Go back to verse 5 in the middle there. This just stuck out to me. Love does not demand its own way. You know, God does not demand his own way. If there's anybody that could demand his own way, it would be him. You know, you realize he could command everybody to bow their knee right today to Jesus and they'd have to do it. But God didn't. He didn't demand that anybody should follow him. He's not forcing. He rewards faith. Faith pleases him. He's not, you know, people say, well, why doesn't he just prove himself? I mean, why doesn't he just show himself? Well, he has shown himself, but you have to believe that he showed himself. Amen. I've said it again and again, but I just can't get over it. I mean, we were driving up through Vermont, going on the way to New York. I mean, and it was just beautiful. I mean, there's a lot of places where the leaves are still changing and just winding through. You know, we went the north way because we didn't want to get stuck in the Friday afternoon traffic. So we were headed to, you know, up there in New York. And so we went up north and we went through ended up going through a national park up there. And just amazing. I'm just looking at the scenes. I know I've said this before, but it just boggles my mind. I'm looking, and Brianna commented it to Shelley the other day, you know, the way the colors are. When you see the leaves up against the blue sky. And she said, you know, that's what Mom told me. I didn't talk to her about it. I heard it secondhand. But, you know, there aren't blue leaves. I mean, there's certainly probably blue leaves somewhere. But in general, when you look over, it is not blue leaves. Well, you have this nice, you have all the rainbow, all these leaves changing. Then it's up against a blue sky. And when it, you know, as it's getting into the evening, you got the different colors, color temperatures going the more warm going at the horizon, you know, the oranges and stuff, and then it goes to kind of neutral, and then it goes to blue, and you got all these colors, and it's just beautiful. And you got the clouds in the sky, but it all just happened. And I'm looking at all the trees, the way they are, and the way they've grown up, and, you know, that just all evolved that way. Really, you have more faith than I do to believe that. If you've lived long enough on the earth, and you see how, if you don't take care of your backyard, it ends up just a mess. But all this stuff just came together, and it just, this beauty came. And you look at a man and a woman and children and the form, and that's just the way it ended up over a lot of time. Really? Really? It's easier to believe that than to believe that there's an almighty creator that designed it this way? No, God has revealed himself. But he doesn't demand anybody come and bow their knee. He's the creator, and people blaspheme him. He doesn't exist, whatever. And talks, they only realized who they were talking about. He is so big. We can't wrap our minds around who he is. You look at the earth and it's this speck compared to the vastness of space, and he created it all. And he wants to know you personally. And he doesn't demand his way. So he doesn't demand his way with people. He gives you an opportunity. Now, he's not light and fluffy. He's kind and gentle, but his things matter, but he won't demand you do them. But they are very important. But he gives every man the opportunity to choose him and to choose to follow him and to choose, like what we were talking about in the offering, to choose his things instead of the things that glitter on this world, and to be truly wise and choose what have things that have eternal value, which are people, because God loves people. And if people say, I love God, but I don't like people, you don't really love God, because God loves people. God loves you and I so much he sent his son to die for us. But he doesn't demand you follow him. And he doesn't demand things in your life. Now, we shouldn't demand of people, but God's things are serious. They are very important. But it's by free will. We need to follow him. But anyway, love does not demand its own way. God does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. God's not irritable or touchy. Does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. Verse 7, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. Now, does God love you? He loves us, so he's going to be loyal to us. So you got to know that he's loyal to you in the midst of the storm. He hasn't left you. He's loyal. God doesn't leave you when it's tough. What kind of friend leaves you when you're in a really bad situation? That's not, you know, you can tell the people that really care about you when they're there for you when it's tough. Not a fair weather friend, right? Well, some people think God leaves them when they need him the most. That's not true. It may look like it, and that's when you have to believe he is with you, and you have to speak the word and follow him and press in when it looks like it is not good. That's what we're talking about, right? Victory. But how would you do that? Well, you got to believe something about God, which is what we're talking about. You got to believe he loves you. And if he loved you, he's not leaving now. Your feelings may tell you he's gone. Your circumstances may tell you, how did God let this happen? You need to flush that and say, God loves me. He won't leave me. He's loyal to me, and he's working on my behalf right now. That's what you need to say, and believe it. It says, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him. God always believes in us. He loves us. He always believes in the middle of when you're being tried, he believes in you. Hallelujah. Say, nobody believes in me. If you're a Christian, that's not true. God believes in you. I said, God believes in you. God believes in you. He is faithful. You may be hitting the limits of what you believe is your strength, and he says, I believe in you, son. I believe in you, daughter. You can do it. Now, not doing it in your own strength, but he's saying, if you rely on me, well, who are we talking about? We're talking about the Almighty. You may not be able to do it, but you start tapping into his strength, you can do it. Amen. But you need to believe something. You need to believe that he loves you like this. You need to believe that he believes in you. Now we're going somewhere. We're segueing here. Always expect the best of him. He expects the best of you, even when you've made a mistake, even when you got mud all over your face, even when you fell and you just made a mess. He expects the best of you. He believes the best about you. He doesn't see you as you're just always falling down. He says, get up. I see you strong. I see you stable. I see you done with this stuff that you've messed with for years. I see you past it. See, in the middle of something where it's pressing on you, it's tempting to say, forget it. I can't do it. I've tried. Pressure comes. Circumstances are there. You've yielded to your flesh, you yielded to your temper, you yielded to whatever. And the enemy will come and say, quit, forget it. You can't do it. Other people can do it, but you're not going to do it. You've tried. You might as well quit. Never. God's not a quitter. We need to know what he thinks about us in the middle of that. We need to know that he says, right here, he's telling us he will always believe in us. He believes in us. He expects the best of us, even when we have our face flat, face down in the mud. Amen. And we just fell for the 100th time in one day. He still believes the best. He's not giving up. See, God sees. He sees things past what we see. He calls those things that be not as though they were. We talked about this on Wednesday nights. He called Abraham the father of many nations when Abraham did not have a child in sight or the prospect of a child. But he said, I call you a father of many nations. See, he saw beyond. That's how God works. We need to hook up with the way he works. We need to start saying, hey, I may have messed up, but I'm getting up because he loves me. He believes in me. It said, you will always stand your ground in defending him. He loves us and his heart is for us. Now, let's turn over to 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 17, get into some scriptures here. Hallelujah. So we spend a lot more time on those verses of scripture. So if you didn't hear that, this whole series, if you want to get the most out of it and you miss some, go back and listen to them because we're building. We're building an arsenal to stand. Okay? We're going to get to it. And we're going to get to it soon. Standing. But you need to know some of the, I'm not saying this is all you need to know. These are just some points. We need to understand some of these things so we don't get taken out by these same tricks. Because Satan, he's always probing the perimeter, trying to get in to see how he can get to you. And if he pokes over here, it's a wall. Pokes here, nothing. You go over here, try this, nothing. You go over here, try this, nothing. If he can't get you, he'll do that. But if you're shored up, you can't be taken out. God's word works. Satan's a deceiver. 1 John 4, verse 17. Go ahead and turn to it if you have your Bibles. 1 John 4, verse 17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this. Love. We're just talking about love. Talking about God is love. God sees us a certain way. Well, love has been perfected or matured among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, as God is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. See, he loved us. We'll start there and work into the other. But he loved us. See, religion has it backwards. They try to get you to serve a God and do things for a God or a cause, and then you will get certain results because you've been so good and you've qualified. That's not the way the kingdom of God works, the real faith. It's not a religion. The faith in the one true God. He loved us. He loved mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if we believe in him, we should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave first. He made the way. Now we react to him. He loves us. Now we've reacted and received that. Now we love him because he loved us. You don't love in trying to earn his love. That's distorted. You can't love the way he loves unless you've received what he's given you. Then you can, with the love of God. The Bible says in Romans that the love of God has been shed abroad, poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We actually have his love on the inside of us. When you think you can't love somebody, people say, I just can't forgive them, I can't love. They don't have an understanding of what's on the inside of them as a Christian. You can. It's a matter if you're going to, if you will. Because God's love, it has no limits. It can forgive. Not talking about being a doormat. I'm talking about forgiving, releasing somebody. You can do that, but in the love of God. But verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love. So if we know God is standing with us, if we know he's back behind us, if he is supporting us, if he believes in us, it says there is no fear in love. Now we know this pretty well. If you're around people that accept you, that you believe loved you, there's a peace, there's a calm, there's a relaxation there, isn't there? You're in the company of people that you could just let your hair down, so to speak. Right? There, you're not afraid. What is it when we try to put a shell on? It's because it's rooted in fear. You know, they're going to say something. They're not going to accept me. But when you can just be yourself, you realize they've already accepted you. You're not worried about that. The more we get settled in him, the less we'll worry about what other people think of us. Then you can just be yourself in front of anybody, because if they don't like you, well, you know, with all due respect, who are you compared to God? If he accepts me and you don't like me, well, that's your problem. Right? It is your problem. Not my. You don't like me? That's not my problem. It's your problem. I mean, say anybody. We got to get that idea. Now, if I did something stupid to you, well, I have to settle that up. But just you don't like me because you don't like me, that's not my problem. I'm not obligated to please everybody else. Neither are you. But we won't be afraid the more we understand who we are in relation to him. That he loves us. That he believes in us. It will drive out fear. It says there is no fear in love, but perfect love, what? It casts out fear. It removes it. Well, we're talking about in context of standing, of victory. If you're in the middle of a trial, of a storm, you will be tempted to fear. And you will have help. The enemy will play videos for you of what is going to happen to you. What is going to happen to your body? What is going to happen to your children? And they'll tell you, this is what the end is. This is where you're going. This is where they're going. Just try to put it in a loop on the TV in your mind. Show you his lies. But they're very convincing. They have good special effects. Try to show you. This is what's going to happen, you know. And it'll sound like this. You know this is going to happen. This will happen. You can try to do your faith stuff or whatever, but this will happen. But he's a liar.
That's right.
And as even in the natural, it looks like, yeah, this is what you would think would happen. No. It's a lie. You have to know he is a liar. And he will try that thing over and over, trying to get you to fear. But if you know who you are in God through Christ, and you know what we were talking about last session, and we were just going over of how God loves us, and you're settled in that, you won't fear, because perfect love, mature love, it casts out fear. You won't be afraid of failing because you know he always leads me in victory, in triumph. I'm going over. But if you start yielding to those pictures, you'll go down. We don't have time to go into this a lot, but fear, if you'll yield to fear, you'll be led right into the thing that you're trying to avoid. People run away from stuff, try to avoid stuff because they're afraid, and they run right smack into the thing they're trying to avoid. Because if you're being led by the devil in fear, because fear, torment, is from the enemy. It's not from God. So think about it. If you're afraid of something happening and you're led by that, who are you led by? Satan. And he's tricky. He tries to get you to avoid this, when in reality, if you yield to him, you're running right smack into the thing that he says will happen if you go over here. People do it all the time. They'll put off doing something because they don't want to be rejected, and when they put off doing it, they'll actually be rejected because they didn't end up doing it. So if we are in a trial, in pressure, in a storm, you're not unique that you would have thoughts that would come to you about something, a bad outcome. We talked about it last week, about casting down those imaginations, casting down those thoughts. Anything that would raise itself against the knowledge of God, we need to counter it. But here it's saying that perfect love, if we understand the love of God and understand who we are, that fear will be run out. Because it's your heart is filled with the love of God. You realize who he is and who he is in relation to you, and that this thing is small compared to him. Well, why would you fear if you know God is with you and that he is for you, that he loves you, that he believes in you, that he expects the best of you? Why would you fear this thing? See, you won't run. You won't yield. You will stand. You won't be tormented. You won't yield to it. See, if we fear, we have not been made perfect or mature in love. In other words, we don't understand the love of God, and we don't understand who he is in relation to us when we fear. You know that's true. If you're afraid, why would you be afraid of anything? The psalmist said, of whom shall I fear? If God is for me, who should I fear? Who's going to take on God? Well, the answer is no one. So if I truly know who he is and who I am in relation to him, why would I be afraid? Well, if I'm afraid, I haven't really understood that yet. Because once I understand it, and we're all growing, we all growing in our knowledge. That's what's going on right now. As we grow in our knowledge of him, fear will get driven out. Things that used to be afraid, things that you used to be afraid of doing, will now no longer make you afraid because you know him. And you know how he loves you. And you know he's standing with you. So you used to be afraid, but you're not afraid any longer. And we all grow. And we all have to take time to renew our mind. And it's little by little. just replacing one thought at a time. You're afraid to do this. Instead of letting fear dominate you, start saying, no, I can't do that because God's with me. Don't replay what you're afraid of happening. Start playing a different video. You take that other video out, trash that tape, trash that CD, crush it, and replace it with what you see happening that is lines up with God's word.
Amen.
You're in a trial of, health. Don't watch yourself get worse. Don't watch that video. Don't watch yourself die. You got to replace that with seeing yourself strong,
Amen.
Healthy. Dodi Osteen, who's Joel's mother, she was healed of cancer. And she put up a picture of herself healthy and strong from earlier when she was going through this and would look at it. And she said, I saw myself that way. And she had scriptures that she would go over and just put them into her, and she was healed of cancer. But you don't look at yourself dead. Brother Hagin tells when he was on that bed, he preaches it and tells, and he goes over and over. He says how he had the vision of that of himself dying. He says it over and over, I saw myself dead. He goes, I saw myself dying. I saw myself die. I saw them put me in the casket. He would run this through his mind. I saw myself dead. He said, I saw them, there at my funeral. I saw them lower the casket down in the ground. I saw them put the dirt on my casket. He said, I saw myself dead. Because they told him he had to die. When he was, 16 or so years of age, 17, he was going to die. Nobody had lived past that age in his condition. And he let those thoughts play, that video play. He said, I saw myself, I saw them bury me. But he said he replaced it. He got a hold of the truth, and he saw himself start to do things and get up, and he replaced it with the truth. See, when you understand what God has done and who He is, it will drive out that fear of your whatever storm you're in overtaking you.
Amen.
And it comes down to fear. It's fear of death in all its forms. Fear of loss. Dying isn't bad. If you're a Christian, dying is good. We shouldn't fear it. See, having a medical condition turn out or something, debilitating. You fear that. That's fear of death. It's fear of loss. It's fear of losing functionality. You having a fear of a relationship blowing up, that's fear of loss. It's fear of death. But it's all evil. We replace it and say, no, God's with me. He's going to work this out. And it's going to be for my good and His glory. And you start believing what He said. Replace those other videos with video images of good.
Amen.
But love does it. God's working with all of us. Perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
Praise God. Go over to Isaiah 41, verse 10. Go ahead and turn over there. Isaiah 41, verse 10, it's on your sheet. This is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. It says, fear not. Fear what?
Not.
Well, what if people say, I can't help it? That's not true. It's a choice. Now, we may have yielded to it for so long that it feels involuntary, but that doesn't mean that's true. You realize you can do something so long that it feels automatic. That doesn't mean at one time you didn't have a choice and that you still don't have a choice to change it. Fearing, yielding to fear, is a choice. We can fight. I said we can fight. We can put it back and say, no, I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not. When that video tries to pop up of what's going to happen, the enemy's trying to play what's going to happen, that's bad. You can rip the video down and say, no, I'm not going to fear. It's not easy, but we can do it. We can do it. Everybody say, I can do it. Through Christ. We can do it. If we say, I can't, we already yielded to the enemy. He's got us whipped. I just can't help it. You don't understand, I can't help it. That's not true. You may feel like you can't help it, but if we're going to go by our feelings, we will be defeated. You may feel fear. You may feel symptoms of fear. Your hair on the back of your neck can be standing straight up. You can be shaking. Your knees can be knocking. And through it all, you can say, I will not fear. God is on my side and I will come through this. Just like symptoms of sickness. Just because symptoms of sickness come on you doesn't mean you say, I'm sick, I yield to it. You may have symptoms, they may look like it, but you can resist them and say, by His stripes I'm healed. It's the same thing with fear. Even though fear is pressing in on you, even though you feel afraid and your mind is saying you are afraid, you say, I resist you. Fear? No. I will not fear. You can say that. You push back on it, and it will get easier. And it will get easier. And now you're making a new path where you used to just automatically get anxious about certain things and yield to fear. You start yielding to strength and yielding to love and say, no, no. He says, fear not. For what? I am with you. See, you may feel, and if you think on the wrong thing, if you think it's just you, you can be tempted to fear and tempted to be like, there's no way. But if you realize He's with me, wait, that changes everything. And you realize He loves me, the what we are talking about, He stands beside me, He believes in me. Oh, wait, there's a different thing now. He's telling us, don't fear, because I'm with you. I'm with you. He's telling us why not, why we shouldn't fear. He said, be not dismayed. Why? For I am your God. So don't be dismayed. I will strengthen you. Yes, I, God speaking, will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He will help us. See, we're talking about you're under pressure. You have a storm in your life. You have tribulation. You can yield to it. You can look at the bad possibilities and dwell on that. Or you can say, I choose to believe what God said. I choose to believe I have victory. And as for this fear, I reject it. I resist it because God is with me. He said, do not be dismayed. See, you can be tempted. We all are tempted. You're under pressure to be dismayed, to let your head hang and start saying, I just don't know. I don't know. I mean, what if this happens? What if that happens? That will do you no good. That will drive you into depression. It will drive you in. You'll yield to dismay. He said, don't do it. Why? I'm your God. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the God of all creation, the one with all power. The one with all strength, the one with all wisdom. He says, I am your God. And what do we read about Him? We read that He loves us. How does He love us? He loves us completely. He doesn't reject us. He stands beside us. Well, if we have Him standing beside us and there to help us, why would we fear? Why would we be dismayed? He said, I'll strengthen you. You say, I feel so weak. Well, stop saying that. Stop focusing on it, how you feel, and start saying, I'm strong. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. But you're weak. But God said to say, I'm strong. Why? He's with me. He said, He'll strengthen me. Yes, He said, I will help you. Well, thank God if he's going to help me. You realize if you're going to do something and he's helping you, is there anything he cannot do?
No.
You know? Is there anything he cannot do where he hasn't limited himself?
Nothing's impossible.
So if I am facing something and he says, I'm here to help you. All right. Is there any question, if I yield to him, that it's going to happen then? If I yield to him. Huh? That's really weak. You guys are, see, you're saying, oh, I don't know, I'll fail. We need to yield to him. You need to take your eyes off yourself. See, this is, are you going to do it or are you going to let him do it? I mean, what are we talking about? We're talking about us doing it. Well, forget it. Let's shut it down right now.
That's right. God's going
to do it. Huh? If it's us, then we know you could be afraid. We know you could be dismayed because you know you. And I know me. And you say, there ain't no way. This ain't going to happen. But that's not what we're talking about. We're saying he's standing next to you and saying, don't worry, I got this. I'll help you. Oh, well, that's a different thing. You, the creator of the universe, are going to help me. Okay, you next to the Creator, your part is to believe Him. Your part is not to get this thing done. Your firepower compared to Him is not even worth talking about. You couldn't heal a gnat. You don't have any healing power in you aside from His Spirit. Anything you're going to get is going to be through Him. So when I'm looking at the problem, I could be dismayed if I'm just thinking about me. But if I start thinking about, wait a minute, it's not just me. It's Him with me. Okay, that's a different equation. I don't care who's arrayed against us. If He's on my side, we're going to win. I don't care what its name is on the other side. We're going to win. See, cancer is only big because we make it big in our head. But to God, it's nothing. It's nothing before the Almighty. Are you kidding me? Just this little fraction of a blip of His power, just it's gone. And anything else? Any other affliction? He created the body. You don't think He can repair it? He can just replace it. Any part of it. It's just our thinking. We limit Him with our thinking. But He said, I'll help you. Well, if He says, I'll help, well, He's got resources. He can do it. He said, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. He'll uphold you. You say, I can't do it anymore. I just can't make it. Well, are you looking at you to do it? Or are you going to look at Him to uphold you? If you're looking at you, well, your strength is limited, but His is not.
That's right.
He didn't tell you to live this life in your strength.
Hallelujah.
Huh? You're not supposed to be strong in you. I'm not supposed to be strong in me. Yeah. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not your might.
That's right.
No, when we renew our mind to what this is saying, see, fear not, why? For I am with you. We've established, He loves us. We're talking, saying perfect love will cast out fear. When you understand Him, you will understand that there is no reason to be afraid because He's with me. If He's with me, the more I understand that, if we're afraid, it's because we don't understand what that means, or we don't believe the extent that it's true. Because if we believe the Almighty is with us in our situation, there is only one outcome.
Victory in Him.
Amen. Victory. Because He said He always triumphs. See, God does not lose.
That's right.
And He's with me.
Amen.
So if I'm walking with Him, what does that mean? I'm not going to lose. Problem is, we split. We dart. We're like, oh no, I can't. He's walking with us. He's like, come on, let's go. We're going through. You're like, no, 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 I no. And we start, we split. But he's not going to lose. So if we'll realize we're walking with him and he's good and he loves us, all I have to do is put one foot in front of the other and say what he says and just say the word and just look to him, cast down anything that would be contrary.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. I just keep marching on. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, we got to start putting that aside and say, he is with me. That fear of it not working has got to go. But it's going to go. You don't try real hard just to do it. You got to replace it with something. You focus on him. And then you resist. You resist it. You push on it. Hallelujah. Can you put up 1 Peter 5 or 2 Peter 5? I think it's 1 Peter 5. I don't think that one has five chapters, but you just put it up on the screen. Let me look, though. Yeah. Yeah, 1 Peter 5. Verse 6. You guys can turn there, too, but we'll put it up here. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Next verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he what? He what? He cares for you. He cares for you. Next verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he what? Can devour anytime he wants to, because he's big and bad and powerful. No. No. It says, be sober, be vigilant. So you got to be on guard. We need to resist. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You don't have to put that up. We may show it in a second. But because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, what? Seeking whom he may. Next word, next verse.
Resist
him. Steadfast in the face, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood and all the world. I'm the only one that has ever gone through this. No. Lie. Lie. Those are lies. It's not true.
Amen.
That's not true. But what are we supposed to do when it comes to Satan and it comes to fear? We resist. But you're not going to resist if you're in fear. You're going to run. You're going to back down. You're going to huddle. You're going to cower. You're going to do this. And that's not going to help you. We need to take it broadside and go forward on the offensive. Resist. What does that mean? It means push back. Come here, Andrew. So now take it easy. If you're pushing me, go ahead. Don't push me over. Okay, go ahead. You can push harder than that. But if I am just letting him, this is, let's say, you know, Andrew's pushing on me. Go ahead, push me. He's pushing me. Come on, keep pushing me. Am I resisting him? Keep pushing me. Keep pushing me. See, this is what a lot of Christians are doing. Go, I just don't know. Keep pushing me. I can't do anything about it. And Satan's just like, keep pushing me. We and he will do that all day if you let him. All day. Watch it, pal. I pay for your cell phone. But no, we have to, if you start pushing against me, I have to push back. I have to push back. I said, I have to push back. If I just let him, Satan will push on you all day. He is not nice. Is that a revelation to anyone?
No.
Do you know the way a lot of Christians act? They think he's going to give them a break. If they yell and cry and just go and go, God. You know, some lady came up to Brother Hagin one time and said, would you pray for me? He said, well, I got to know what to pray for. And what do you want me to pray for? She said, will you pray that the devil will leave me alone? And he said, what, you want me to pray that you'll die? Because that's the only way he's going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you alone. You can cry about it. I can't do it anymore. I just want it. That just egg him on. Because it's working. No, he will push on you. And I'm like I said, it's not the circumstance will push on you. You'll have thoughts and feelings will push on you. And we have to take against them and start pushing back. But you won't do that if you're running. We're going to talk more about this. We're getting in the edge of it. My point is here, you can't run and be afraid and expect it to change. And how is that going to happen? You need to understand who is standing beside you and with you. Go ahead, Andrew, sit down, please. Thank you. You need to understand who that is with you. And what that he loves you, that will start casting out the fear. See, if you're running and just I just can't do it, he's just going to be pushing you while you're going. Push you down. He's not nice. So you need to, once you realize, wait a minute, God Almighty is with me. He loves me. See, Satan will tell you, well, you messed up. See, that's what we talked earlier. You have to know the word and say, no. I know I messed up, but Jesus came. I already took care of that. The more you start realizing what God is, you'll start turning around. And you'll start being like, no, no. I know who's with me. And he'll throw something at you and you'll say, no, no. I have already took care of that. And he'd say, yeah, but this isn't supposed to happen. God said these things would happen, and I am going to come through it with him. He's with me. You'll start resisting him and pushing him. But you won't do it if you're afraid. The reason how you get rid of the fear is by realizing who God is and what he is to you. And that's what we really want to focus on today. Perfect love casts out fear. See, people will go right to the resisting. They're trying to resist, but they're not convinced of God's love, and it's a weak spot. When we talked about probing, Satan will punch a hole right through that. He say, oh, you're trying to resist me? And he say, God, where is God? What has he done for you? Why do you, he doesn't love you? And if you yield to that, you'll go down. He knows where that is. This is not a game. This is not like, let's play faith game and let's act like we have it all together. He'll punch you. He'll punch a hole at 2:00 in the morning. Yep. I'm not making him to be big. He's not big. He is a coward. Yep. Yes. But if you have something that's not shored up like that, that's where he's going to push. This is not a game where people say, oh, I learned on this recording that I'm supposed to resist the devil and he'll flee from me and that I have victory. And so I'm going to stand and he'll just go and he'll punch. He'll say, oh, really? Does God love you? And he'll just go right through it and you're down. You hit the ground because you're like, well, I don't know. I mean, God, where is God? And blah, blah, blah. And he'll just leave you. You're in a mess, crying on the floor. And he just walks away. He's wicked and evil. But if you shore this up, now you're not afraid anymore. You wait, no, no. I know who God is. Meditate on these verses. Go through. He believes in me. He believes the best of me. He is defending me. He's loyal to me. He loves me like he loves Jesus. Now fear will start getting pushed back. And now you look around and say, where is that? It's gone. Now we're starting to get to the place where we can truly stand. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.